imagine how that day will be, how that time will be, when all pain and suffering that we have endured will go seemingly go by the wayside, when all that we've been through will seemingly go away, when we all this what we find ourselves in and we're struggling in our bodies and in our minds and in our hearts and in our souls, and all of this will just pass away. Hallelujah, Jesus. But his love endureth for forever. Good morning, brothers and sisters of the Safe House Church and all our visitors from all around the world. My name is Dr. Peter Ely, and I'm your pastor of the Safe House Church in the beautiful city of Greensboro, where I like to call myself Greensboro's favorite pastor. Amen. And we're serving the city of Greensboro, and also we're serving those who are worshiping and deciding to join us online. I'm just so grateful to you all for joining us as we still working through this COVID situation, but nonetheless, God is good and he's worthy to be praised. And on this morning, we just want to remind ourselves that this is the day that the Lord has made. And then we just want to remind ourselves that we're going to lift every voice and sing because our victory is coming. I want to remind you that it's not you, but it's that God is in me. And what they don't understand is when you get home and behind those closed doors, you're going to hit the floor because you realize that what you have is not your own, but it's given to you by the grace and the mercy of our King. And when you get through all of that and then you realize and say, Lord, I still got some rough edges. Lord, would you smooth out the rough edges on me? Oh, God, I know I haven't dotted every I and haven't crossed every T, but smooth out the rough edges on me, Lord. And when you're done with all that, Lord, just give me some room to imagine how it's going to be when I get to serve you continually, Lord. Let me have some room to imagine, oh, God, how it's going to be when I'm in your presence all the time. Lord, give me some room to imagine, Lord Jesus, how it is to be in your love, Lord Jesus, perpetually, Lord Jesus, all going, Lord Jesus, all the time, moving forward, oh, God. I thank you, Lord Jesus. You are an intentional God. You're a strategic God, Lord, and we serve you. And Lord, I'm just so grateful to you, Lord Jesus. Blessings and honors to all those who have joined us on this morning. Would you do me a quick favor? Why don't you hit the share button and share with somebody? If you're on Facebook, Periscope, YouTube, wherever you may be, hit the share button and share this broadcast with somebody as we get into the meat of the word. I know it's the holiday time, and many of you had, you know, your good times on yesterday and on last night, And I just wanted to say, you know, to you, I hope that you continue to be safe. Many of you I know are traveling, and I know some of us are going to be traveling. Even I'm going to be traveling today, so I'm not going to be before you long this morning. But nonetheless, I didn't want to drop a word of inspiration, a word of faith, a word of hope, because the Bible says, like this, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, yet the evidence of things unseen. And I just want to leave you some hope this morning to let you know that it's going to be all right. I know it seems like it's the bottom of the ninth, and it's three balls and two strikes, but nonetheless, God has got us, and we're just going to hold on to his unchanging hand, and you know, no matter what come, and may he told us that these things were going to come, and this is what he told us to do. He said, stand still and know that he is God, for it's he that's made us and not we ourselves, for we're going to see the power of his salvation. We're going to see the power of his glory that's just going to surround us and keep us, and he's going to keep us alive. And I'm encouraged this morning. Good morning, Bishop Sutton, my dear friend Bishop Sutton. I can't wait to reconnect with you. I honor you, man of God. I honor your ministry. You know, I still remember that he preached a message that get out of lowly bar. Oh, my God, that thing stuck with me, and it's been with me about 10-plus years now. And I look forward to connecting with Bishop, and we're going to have him come to the Safe House at some point in the near future. So I'm just so grateful to God just reconnecting us with people. You know, sometimes we get all over the place and things happen and, you know, and people move and stuff, but God is good and he's so worthy to be praised. So we want to go right into what I believe God has given us. I want to, on way of announcements, we would not have Bible class on this Wednesday. We want to give some time. You know, families is central to the Safe House Church. Remember, we work off three principles at the Safe House Church, or I call them pillars of the Safe House Church. And they simply this: discipleship, we're going to teach you. I'm going to teach you what we know. We, you know, others going to teach you. We're going to work together. I don't know it all. I don't have it all. But we work, and we're going forward in this thing to meet God. Amen. Then we work off what? E, empowerment. I believe in empowering people. What? Because once you start to learn these things, you need to have somewhere to exercise that which you've learned. The Bible has told us what? To go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come, which means that I just don't compel them just with my mouth, but I do it with my lifestyle. I do it in every manner of conversation that I have. I have to be careful. Even now, I caught myself on last week doing saying some things that I probably shouldn't have said. And I had to repent for some things. Well, it's every amount of a conversation, and it's every part of our walk. And then that leads me to the A part. Accountability. Oh, I know that's a bad, that's a cuss word for some people this day, but this church believes in accountability. So we work in discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. We like to call it DEA. We ain't the drug enforcement agency, but we're just what? The disciples and being empowered, working through accountability. Because I believe that holiness is still right. I believe that God has called us, Lord, to a standard of holiness. I believe that he still loves us. Oh, come on, somebody. That we can't just live our lives any old kind of way that we want to live. But there is a standard of holiness that he's called us to. So this morning, I'm going to go right into our message. I'm not going to hold you up anymore. And I just want to go right into our message, and we're going to get out of here. This might be a little shorter than it normally would be, but I believe that this is what God has given me to share with you on this day. So if we take for a subject this morning, I want our subject to be some things are just because. So if you're in the bed, or if you're at the house, or you're eating your breakfast, or you're drinking your coffee, or you're on your morning walk, and you can reach out to somebody and yell out to them, some things are just because. Some things are just because. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord. We just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your anointing that destroys the yoke and set the captive free. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love, Lord Jesus. We thank you for those who connected with us, Lord, those who are sharing with us, Lord, those who invested in this ministry, oh God, Lord, and in doing what you call us to do, oh God. We thank you, Lord, and we love you, Lord, and we praise your name, Lord. We ask you this word, Lord Jesus, be, Lord Jesus, attached to the hearts of your believers, oh God, that they chew on it all week long, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We ask that you continue to watch them and keep, Lord, our saints that are here, Lord, those who are not here, oh God, those who are sick and shut in, Lord Jesus, our saints, Lord Jesus, who are in surgeries and all over the place, oh God, Lord, I ask you, bless them, keep them, hold them in the palm of their hand like only you can, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. How many of y'all ready for a Sunday morning meal? I do believe I have a little meal for you today that I believe God has given me to share with you, and I'm going to share that with you this morning as expeditiously as possible, as they would say, you know, me using some big words this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is good. How many of y'all know God has been good to you? Amen, amen. I know he's been good to me. You know, even when I didn't want to be good to myself, he was still good to me. Even when I didn't want to keep myself, I know him as a keeper, not just as my God, but I know him as a keeper. I know him as a comforter. I know him as a healer. He's healed my body. Oh, come on, somebody. For some of us, he's healed our minds, because we was on our way to a reprobate mind. And what he healed our minds. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So let's go right into our word today. I want you, if you would, turn with me to St. John chapter number 9, and we're going to be at verse 1. St. John chapter number 9, and we're going to verse number 1. For those who don't have, y'all know I love my online Bibles, and my online Bible that I choose to typically use with you all is the Blue Letter Bible. They do such a good job. I remember I've had this thing for a long time. It's free. Just go to blueletterbible.org. You know, drop them a couple of coins if you can. But we want to go in right to our word on this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So are we ready? Ready for the word? Amen. Because we're a word-believing church. You know, we got to have something to walk this thing out. All right, and it says this, and Jesus passed by, and he saw a man which was blind from birth. Tell somebody he was blind from birth, meaning that he was born what? Blind. You know, there's several different types of blind that you can be. You have some people who are blind from birth, meaning that they never saw before. Then you have some people who could see, and maybe something tragic happened to them in the sense that they were in an accident, and now they don't see anymore. Or they have, sometimes we have diseases of the eye, and some people get diseases of the eye, you know, such as glaucomas and all these kind of things. Then they get to a point that their eyesight, and then you have some who naturally eyesight who's just deteriorating over time, you know, just due to old age. That's what they tell me. So, you know, I'm almost working on a pair of bifocals. I actually have reading glasses now, and I typically would have them on, but I have them over there, and I don't want to get up. Okay. But nonetheless, we're going to see if these will work for me today. Amen. So then he said he was born blind from birth. All right, let's go on a little bit further. Then he goes on and he says, and his disciples asked him, saying, so the disciples, remember, disciples is this group of men that Jesus is mentoring. He's working with them. He's teaching them. There's an apprenticeship. Do you not know that you and I are supposed to be working in apprenticeship? You know, I know we get this thing that we get comfortable sitting in church and we just sit down and we just do, you know, whatever we do. And, you know, we heard the word and we go out. But no, it's more to it than that. We need to be working in discipleship. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm about to call somebody to another level of accountability. I'm about to call somebody to another level that God has been waiting for you to come up to. You say you want this thing. You say, God, I want to know you more. And he said, okay, this is how you know me more. You got to spend time with me. So when I think about my children, I think about my wife, and I think about all my significant relationships in my life, it's one that I spend time with. You know, when I got a doctorate degree, there was a lot of time that I spent with the professor. Why? Because he was teaching me things, and I was learning to work, and I was doing the things that I needed to do. But in that, there were things that was outside of the work. Oh, come on, somebody. There was things outside of the work that I was learning. There was things that I was learning how to be a professional. Oh, come on. See, the book didn't teach me how to be a professional. I was learning these things called soft skills. Uh-huh. I was learning how you interact with people. I was learning how you network with people. I was learning how people, you know, thought about things and how they strategically placed themselves. See, this was stuff that was not in the textbook. Oh, come on, somebody. But so it's important that you and I walk in discipleship with Jesus. Why? Because there's going to be some things he gonna teach you that's not in the book. Woo-oh, did I just say something bad? There's gonna be some things he's gonna teach you that's not in the book. Why? Because that comes out of relationship. Mm-hmm. That comes out, that's things I know about my wife that you'll never know. Why? Because that comes out of relationship. And the relationship is what? A discipleship relationship. So what Jesus is doing here, they're walking with him and they say this, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So what is he saying here? Is he asking, he said, who sinned, this man? This man is asking, who was the one that sinned that the reason this guy is blind? At this particular point in time, that people always equated, if something was happening or something happened, that means this person must have done something, that something must have happened, that this person found their way in sin. And sometimes that is true. But do you not know that we can be in a point and place in our life that sometimes you don't have to do anything? Some things are just because. Oh, come on, somebody. Some things are just because. And what we find here, the disciples, because this is the way that they thought. This is the way that the world system teaches them to think. This is the way that they walk in. And this is their understanding of things. So what do? They go in with their carnal understanding, and they're trying to understand heavenly things. Have you ever seen somebody who's trying to use carnal understanding to understand heavenly things? What happens is there's going to always be a disconnect, because you cannot use godly kingdom principles to try to understand worldly stuff. Why? Because God has already told us. He said, you be in the world, but not of the world. So we don't operate off the world system. When the world is going down, we are going up. Oh, come on, somebody. When they say they're losing, Lord, we're winning. When he says, no, I'm doing everything I can to live, he told us to die and that we was going to gain life. Are y'all hearing me? So here the disciples are walking with Jesus, and he's teaching them, you know, about some things, and they're asking some questions. Do you not know you can ask God questions? I hear people often say that you don't question God, and I think they're trying to come from a different point of view, but nonetheless, I ask God questions all the time. He's my Father. How do I supposed to know if I'm in discipleship with him and I'm trying to learn other than I ask the question? Yes, he could read my mind if he wanted to. But he's given me this mouth to be able to, this thought to be able to process and say, Lord, what about this? So here, they're trying to understand some things. So they want to know, say, okay, when I see this situation, how do I know if it's some sin in this person's life that caused them to be where they are? How do I know it's some, you know, that it was something that he's done that caused him to be there? How do I know this is not a generational curse that's upon his life, so that's why he's born this way? Are y'all with me this morning? But let's keep going. Jesus says something very significant here. In John 9:3, he says this. Now Jesus answered and said, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God shall be made manifest in him. How many of you know sometimes it's just because? Just because what? Just because what? He wants to show himself as God. Some of us are looking at our situation and we're trying to figure out, woo, Lord, I feel my emotion running out. Some of us are looking at our situation and trying to figure out, Lord, why is this not working for me? Lord, why does it seem like turmoil comes to my family, oh God? Why does it seem like death is continually at my doorstep, oh God? Why does it seem like, Lord, I'm in continual financial ruin? Lord, I'm giving and I'm tithing, oh God. And Lord, I'm studying your word, Lord. I'm living to the best of my ability, Lord. But yet I continually find myself in this place. And Lord, I'm asking myself, Lord, is there any sin in the camp? Because remember, there was one time, I think with Joshua, they were talking about there was sin in the camp, so they couldn't win the battle. So the first thing we do is we recollect back to what our earthly mentality, and we reckon back to this part, and this is what the disciples find themselves doing. The first thing they do is say, Jesus, is there sin in the camp? Is there sin in his body? Is there sin that's done by the parents? Oh, because sometimes the sins of the parents fall on the children. We call it generational cursing. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me this morning? So we find ourselves here that what? Now we have the disciples and Jesus answers them. Do y'all not know that Jesus will answer you? We serve a God that will answer you. All y'all do is ask. And he goes on and he tells them, he said, this is what? So the works of God will be manifested. Then he goes on, he says, and I must work the works of him that sent me. Because Jesus is what? He's also on mission. Mm-hmm. We're all on mission. So Jesus is on mission and we were commissioned. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? Jesus is on mission and we were commissioned. Commission what? Partnership. Uh-huh. Meaning that what? I'm giving you authority to go forth and do this work on my behalf. Y'all know we're going to break this thing down this morning. That's what we do at the safe house. All right. I don't know other way but to do it that way. So what is he doing? Commission. So he's commissioned us. Mm-hmm. And now Jesus said, well, I got to do the works that my father sent me to do. Because what? Sometimes he just needs to show himself strong. And this is one of them points he wants to show himself strong. And then the Bible goes on and he says this in verse 9, and we're going to quit here. And he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Why don't you just nudge somebody over or just yell out loud? Or I don't care if you're in your car, whatever. Say, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Do y'all not know that Jesus is the light of the world? And if Jesus is living inside of you, then that means there is still light in this dark, dark world. Some people say, Lord, just come get us. No, there's still light. See, if he's living in you and you in him, then what he said, as long as I am in the world, there is light. Where is the light important? Why? The light does what? It illuminates a path. Do y'all not know when God is inside us and he fills us with the gift of the Holy Ghost? This is why living holy is essential, so the Holy Ghost can live inside of us. There's now what? A light. And then the Bible says what? That he would direct your path. The steps of a good man are ordered, and that he would direct your path. So how does he direct my path? By the light that lives inside of me. Woo! Are y'all getting this morning? I'm getting excited. It's the light that lives inside of me. So when I'm walking in darkness, and now he comes in with the light, what happens is what it illuminates my path. And now I can see. And when you're walking around with the only one that got a light, or if you're one of the few that's walking around that have a light, those who are lost do what? They see the light. They see the light. And when they see the light, they are what? Attracted to the light. You are always attracted to the light. This is why I believe the Bible says that this. He said, if I would be lifted up on the earth, I would do what? I would draw all men unto me. What do you mean by he's going to draw all men unto him? Is that what? By his light that lives inside of you, just because others are attracted to you. You know, there's people who are attracted to me. I know, you know, not just in the physical sense, oh, that he's cute or whatever, but it's something about Peter. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on, but it's something about him. There's something different about him. And I know it ain't me, but as I was singing this morning, It's the God in me that gives off what? A light. And he gives off that light. Why? Just because. Just because. Let me give you three points and I'm going to get out of here. 3 points I want to leave with you today, and I want you to chew on all week. But I want you to know that, number one, you got the light just because. See, one of the things, just because what? Because God just the what wants to show his glory. He wants to show his power. He wants to show his might. He wants to show his strength. That's the kind of God we serve. He's a little braggadocious. Because he know he can, he will. And therefore, what he allowed things to happen to us, and he puts us in situations, and he puts us in circumstances, and you know what he does? He lets people think that we've been written off. He lets it look like it's really bad. He lets it go down, and it's like, oh my goodness, this person is done for. This person is over. And you know what he do? At that last minute, what he do? He swoops up and picks us up. And then he sits us up on top of the throne. Are y'all getting this morning? He takes us, and you know, right when they seem like we about to fall into that pit, then he puts us up and he puts us down. And the Bible, that's why the Bible said, that should be what? That was last shall be what? First. Because what happens is, where you're going down to the last, as soon as you hit the last, you hit rock bottom, he lifts you up. He takes you with an extended hand and he puts you in the rightful place. Because when you're going down, you're learning them. When you've been going down and you've been struggling, you've been learning them, brothers and sisters. There's some things that you know God better now than you did last week. Why? Because sometimes he got to allow some things to happen in your life to strike you, to strike you, to struggle you, to make you grow. I think Frederick Douglass said it like this. He said, without struggle, there's no progress. So you have to have what we call productive struggle. Come on, somebody. A productive struggle. So what? Just because he wants to show his glory. You know what else he do just because? Point number two, he wants to defy our logic. We as men, we think we got it together. We figured it all out. We got airplanes. We got cars. We got trucks. We got all kinds of stuff. We're going to figure out this virus, and we're going to figure this out. We're going to make vaccines. And you know what? He allows us to do that. We won't find a vaccine until he allows us to find one. I guarantee it. But when he's ready for us to find one, we'll find one. He'll bless a man or a woman with the knowledge to say, hey, do this, do that. Yeah. Or you know what? All of a sudden, God can just change the rays of the sun and it can dry it up. That's the kind of God we serve. Look out throughout. You don't believe he does that kind of thing? Look throughout the Bible. Remember the children of Israel was out there where they were getting bitten by snakes. And what did he tell Moses to do? God would give us the knowledge to fix COVID. If we seek him, and when he's ready to do it, have we got through the productive struggle? See, some of us, we still dependent on our bank accounts. So he ain't let that go down enough yet. Some of us are still dependent on our own ability and our jobs and our homes and all this stuff. So he's got to let all that go away. Then when you get to that point, did you really depend on him? When you get to that point, did you really say, oh, all my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness and all other grounds of sinking sand? When you really get to that point in your life, then all of a sudden you're going to find out he's going to quicken a man. He's going to quicken a woman. And they're going to what? They're going to come up with this virus protection. Why? Can they get it in the Bible? What did he tell Moses? Moses prayed, Lord, the people are dying because of the serpents. And what did he tell Moses to do? Come on, Bible scholars. He told him to do what? Put a snake, a brazen serpent upon the stick. And all that look upon that stick with that brazen serpent shall be what? Shall be healed and not die. It's in your Bible. And you know what? We believe it such that I take your amulets. Next time you see an ambulance, or go on the internet, Google your ambulance, look on the back of the ambulance. You know that little star we see on the back of that ambulance? Inside of that star, there's a stick with a snake around it. Where did you think that came from? There's a stick with a snake around it. It's nothing but the brazen serpent. That means what? Healing. And believe it or not, a lot of snake venoms were used what as antidotes or medicines to cure certain illnesses. So God can take something that we think is evil, defy our logic with it, and it be what? It be a cure. Think about when we get when we start curing these diseases. Most of the time, what they do is what? Give you a smaller, weaker dose of the same disease, and then your body builds up immune to it. And now when the bigger disease comes, your body says, hey, I already know what that is, and we're ready for the fight. Come on, brother. Do you see what I'm saying? So we really make you sick intentionally. Now, what sense does that make? It defies the logic of men. Because I already told you what we believe is supposed to work doesn't work. Because what we say should work, so we should be able to go find something anti-venom and all this stuff. But what God says is going to work, it works. So the same thing that was killing us, what did he do? He gave it to you. And now we know that as many of our vaccines, it's just smaller doses of the original disease. It defies man's logic. Why does he do this? Just because he can. And I want you to know today and realize today, brothers and sisters, that sometimes God just do things just because. I cannot explain it. I cannot explain why he allowed this to happen and he allowed that to happen. But I have to what? Trust his plan. And trust my involvement in the plan. And trust my positioning in the plan. And trust where he has me in the plan. And trust and know that I am in the plan. Are y'all with me this morning? So then he goes on and he says, what is this third piece? He wants you to just remind us that you and I are carriers of the light. Brothers and sisters, we have a massive, massive opportunity here. This is the church's, one of the church's finest hours. Why? Because God is asking for those who carry the light to show up. To show up. How do you show up? How do you show up? By living that light, walking that walk, talking that talk. Don't get yourself caught up in every wind of doctrine. Don't get yourself caught up in backbiting and cheating. Do what you're supposed to do. Honor who you're supposed to honor. Give Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give God what belongs to God. And just know, say, okay, God, I don't understand it. I don't know it. But just maybe this was my own deal. But maybe it was not. And maybe it was just because, as what he said up here in verse John 9:3. If you don't remember nothing yesterday, he said what? Jesus said and answered, neither had this man sinned, nor has his parents sinned. But the works of God shall be what? Manifested. Mean what? Shown in him. So God what? He's afflicted to be from blind. Why? Because God just wanted to show off and show his power and show his glory and defy men's logic and let you all know that we were commissioned and that what? We're carriers of the light. Now, God afflicted it. He allowed this man to be afflicted. He could have fixed this at birth. He's God. But he allowed him to be afflicted. Why? So somebody else can be saved. God is allowing you to go through what you're going through so you can tell somebody else, don't go down that road. God is allowing you to be where you've been financially. Why? So you can tell somebody else, no, save your money. It's not worth it. God is allowing you to tell this, hey, no, you know what? Save sex for marriage. So if you already been out there, you know, get yourself under control. Why? Because it's going to lead to a road and you're going to be in a situation that you really don't want to be in. If they'll hear you, because there are some people who will hear you. I know that's a lot. They won't hear you. And the Bible tells us to do what about those people? He said, dust your feet off and go on. You know, that's some who are not going to hear me. And that's okay. But those who will. Those who will, they're like, I was willing to listen to somebody. I still listen to some somebodies. There's still people who speak into my life. And as I speak into yours today, that little bit you got, don't discount that. It's significant. Because he has somebody that you and only you alone are going to be allowed to reach. I can't reach them, but you can. I can't talk to them. You can. I can't get them to see things this way, but you can. So don't discredit yourself and what God has already done and began in you. Why? Just because you'll carry up the light. And he allowed him to be what? Afflicted so he can show his glory. He allowed you to go through what you're going through. Why? So he can show his glory. Glory. He allowed the sickness in your body. Why? So he can just come and heal you. And somebody can say, I remember such was sick and she got healed. And I'm like, I know a man who walked the streets of Galilee who has that same power that he wants to impartate to you. It's a faith thing, y'all. It's a faith thing. You gotta believe. And we walk in this grace and we walk in this might and we walk in this strength and we walk in his love. No, Lord, hey, it's not me, but it's the God that's in me. It's the God that's in me that does this. It's the God that's in me that secures me. So, brothers and sisters, as I go in closing today, and I told you all I won't be before you long, but I hope that you got a power meal, that you got a good feeling of your belly on this morning. That God, what, sometimes some things happen in our lives, can't explain them. Just because. But Jesus told us here, it wasn't nothing you did. But it's that I strategically chose you to manifest my glory in, and that others might know that you are a carrier of the light. God bless you all this morning. I love you all. I just, y'all, this is just my happy space. I love fishing. That's my happy space. But being here with just impartating God's word to God's beautiful people all over the world. You know, he always told me that I always believe that, you know, I'll be international. And, you know, this is nothing without thought. And some would say, you know, but Bob said, do not despise the day of small beginnings. I know the gifting that he's put inside of me. I know the anointing that he's put inside of me. I know where he's taking me through. And you got to know him, that you know him, that you know him for yourself. As my pastor, my old assistant pastor, Brother Julius, used to always say, Brother Julius said, people, you got to know something for yourself. And that's one thing you're going to learn here at the Safe House Church is you got to know something for yourself. I can teach you and I can preach you at a pinch. But if you don't know it for yourself, when the day of testing comes, you're going to fail. Know him for yourself. Go to him for yourself. I'm here to help you, but I'm commissioning here just like you. I have to save myself from this underworld generation. Peter ain't made nobody. Peter ain't died for nobody. Mm-hmm. But there's somebody, his name is Jesus, who did. And all I am is a partner with you in this walk. I'm a partner with you in this talk. I can advise you, but at the end of the day, it's your decision. Safe House Church, we don't, my members here tell you, Dr. Ely do not tell people what to do. He just advises. He makes recommendations. Because you don't tell grown folk what to do. Especially if they think they're grown wrong. All you can do is what? Make recommendations, advise. And they only get that when it's solicited. Amen. I've learned some things over the last year too. Okay. Only do that when it's solicited. But nonetheless, God is good. So God bless you all. I love you all. Hey, at this particular point in time, I want to go into prayer. I want to pray a little bit. We have some saints who are down. We have some saints who are parents are down, and we want to pray the prayer of healing.